Welcome to another welcome to another exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out, the extended version.
Extended, right.
That's right.
15 minutes. Well,
really? Wow. Yeah. I'm Robert Winters, still Robert Winters. And today and who are you?
I'm Judy Nathans.
There we go. And today is July 21st.
I know. Who would have thought? Come on. July already?
I mean, yeah. We're still cruising along here in quarantine. Yeah. Well, semi-quarantine.
Things are better. They're better, but only when you think about it, really, then they're not. But it's okay. No, it is better.
Yeah.
That'd be somewhat better. Hopeful. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are things happening around in the civic world. There's certainly things happening around in the business world, the property ownership world. It's not a boring season.
The property. That's interesting. We should talk about that, the closing.
We should definitely talk about that a little bit here.
Yeah. Cambridge focused. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, one thing maybe we should mention, other than the fact that yesterday was the anniversary of the moon landing, Apollo 11, always good to see replays of that.
Narl
Armstrong. Yeah, I mean, it was in 1969, so it wasn't like
I thought we already did that. That was a while ago, no?
I think it was like the 50th anniversary last year, but every year, something I always remember.
Oh, I mean, when they actually went, I see what you're saying.
It was so astonishing. And one of the things I was noticing or noting last night when I was watching some of it on the television, that it was one of those great moments where like everybody in the world was captivated and everybody was on the same page and everybody thought this was cool.
That's true.
And in a way, it was kind of a nice antidote to see that during a time when there's a lot of unrest in a lot of places. So, I find that a little bit gratifying.
You know, when I remember when the whole world was watching and it was positive, when Obama was inaugurated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not inaugurated, when he won that night, because they would show flashes of squares around the world.
Around the world. It's really true.
And it was like I had tears in my eyes. I mean, he was
meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, and then 8 years later, it's like,
What it is, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, one thing, and I think maybe I'm just going to flip over here, do the old share screen. To speak a little bit to this here.
We have lots of visuals.
One of the things, and I hope this is reasonable to view here. So the thing is, one of the things coming up here, which some folks may know about, some may not, it's actually the centennial of the final passage of the 19th Amendment for women's suffrage.
Right.
And the actual dates are that the 19th Amendment was actually the final state that was necessary for ratification was August 18th, 1920. And it was, I think, about 7 days or 8 days later, August 26th, is when it was officially certified by the United States, the Secretary of State. So,
what year again?
So in 1920. Right. And I think so, really, from ratification, final ratification vote to certification is a week. So everybody ought to make the whole week into a celebration.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you were talking and I all that we both saw the vote that was on PBS. It was a two-parter.
Yeah.
And I learned things I didn't know.
It's a great program. But the city's actually been planning to do a commemoration in the summit form of some kind of artwork that
in the Cambridge Common. In the last, what was that? Last public meeting they had it was in February. I remember the date, like 19th or something. And I went to that. It was at the senior center. And there were about 8 people presenting then. So now it's come down to these 4 proposals, but obviously they haven't been able to have any meetings since then. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are 4 finalists. I would urge people to go check them all out. Their city the city put out yet another press release today asking more public input to get people.
Yeah, I put mine in, because I think not enough people are aware of this because everything else.
True. So,
I have my favorite, but hey.
Right. Actually, I think my favorite is the same as your favorite, by the way. Yeah, I think so. But I have to say, when I saw the 4 finalists, honestly, I wanted something else, but of the 4, I definitely have a favorite, but, it would, anyway, I won't say too much more than that, but I think people should be aware, that it's coming up and,
August 3rd, they want feedback. And then, I think there's another date for some kind of public whatever, but we'll, I'm sure if once you give feedback, you're going to get the email anyway. So
yeah definitely. One of the things I'm going to just say, you know, quickly, I'm going to do yet one more little screen share for it here, is that not to dwell too much on the pandemic, but it is worth noting that, I mean, I've actually been rescaling this graph here so that it's a pretty narrow band vertically. So it looks steeper than most people would actually think of it is, because, you know, basically it's just that it's expanded vertically to make it look a little bit. But I think I would just as a math.
That's how many people are tested. Is that what
this is? How many have tested positive now?
Tested positive.
Yeah. So the thing is,
So
we hit 1150 today, which honestly, in a city of 100,000 plus, depending on whether you count the students, many of whom are not here.
Yeah, but that's assuming everyone's getting a test, Robert.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, and I'm going to, good news is that there's been a pretty solid recovery rate, and they've been keeping good track of that. One of the things that
wait a minute. You have another graph. I want to know how many people have been tested and not just the positives.
I don't know how many have been tested, but I saw that there's 1150 tested positive, but I believe our positivity rate is actually quite low.
All right. So that might be what, 2%? 1%?
I think we're under 1%. Yeah.
Okay, so
we're doing pretty well.
I see what you're saying. So maybe 10th. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, the one graph that I put together the other day was just a sense of how has it been changing over time. I just did a little graph today of a 7-day running average.
So what you can see is
in mid-April.
That's when
because there was a lot of testing was starting up then, and you were getting a lot of the people who are positive.
So they predicted that would be the surge up early.
That's exactly when the surge was.
Yeah, right.
But the thing is, you definitely see sort of a rise and a fall. There are a few little bumps here and there.
Yeah.
Some of which may be related to some increased testing, but it's not like it's going away. I mean, the thing is, it's pretty much petering out to kind of averaging out to like a.
But we're still getting
four
cases.
Per day.
Yeah.
So the thing is this is not going away anytime soon.
No, but it's not bad. We do want it, I think, like around 1% though or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that and every day brings good word about potential vaccine candidates and just as importantly, a lot of good words about better therapies.
Treatment
right now
once you have it.
And treatments, exactly. Yes. So the thing is that the severity or fatality rates actually can be somewhat contained.
Right.
You know, this is a long haul, you know, but the thing is that and we're certainly a part of it. We're not like Arizona and Texas. We're actually doing most of the right things.
Well, you walk around. I mean, I walk around a lot, and most people are wearing masks. They really are. Very rare do I not see someone with a mask.
No, I think people have been pretty good about it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have too many. You know, it's like Dr. Fauci talked about. Well, even if we get a vaccine, America has a very thriving anti-vax movement, too.
Well, you know, you go to other communities, you hear about this. Other states, even like 10 miles out of Cambridge, people are not, they don't want to do it. And I'm glad we do live in this little bubble, you know?
Most of the people here are pretty okay with wearing masks, but there are definitely places where people are refusing that.
And we're talking all ages, all colors, all sizes.
Yeah, people making out of some kind of a civil rights matter, which I think
maybe
a little misguided.
Well, this is why America is failing in that respect, is because, you know, the individual is more important than the community. That's really what it comes down to. So many people.
Like France, I mean, liberty, liberté, right? Liberty is a big piece of what this country is founded on. There's no question about it. But the thing is, liberty does not
come without any restrictions, right?
You know, like you say that I believe in liberty. How dare you? So you don't believe in stop signs? Because they're telling you can't just race through an intersection. No. Liberty doesn't mean no restriction. It means sensible restrictions and the freedom to pursue happiness.
Right.
That's really what the founders, how they would have put it back then.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And there are a few other things that I think are kind
Wait, speaking of Dr. Fauci, he's throwing out the baseball tomorrow night. You know
For the Washington...
For the first- Yeah, the Nationals game.
Yeah.
They invited
you know,
him.
It's funny.
That must be killing Trump, you know?
I was about to say, you mean for the Washington Senators? I said, no, they're long gone. Yeah. Right?
But so, can you imagine what a snub that is for the president of the United States?
You know, honestly, discretion is the better part of valor.
I know. I'm so happy they did that. Yeah.
But listen, even if they didn't, what do you think the reaction would be if this president were to throw out the ball at a baseball game? He'd better be behind a shield, honestly.
Well, he never would. I mean, the fact that he wasn't even concerned, who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Fauci is definitely viewed as one of, you know, in a time where we don't have too many authority figures who we respect, it's kind of nice to have at least one.
I think he has a bobblehead now.
Really? Oh, boy. Well, he's made it. He's definitely made it. All right. Now, there's a lot of other things going on around town.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
One of the things I thought maybe we should set a touch on, and I'm again going to sort of dodge over to take a look at this.
The visuals are great. Yeah.
There's an interesting initiative from the Central Square Business Improvement District, which is based on an idea of Peter Valentine, our dear friend Peter Valentine, called Starlight Square. And basically what it is, I mean, this is a very simple sketch of what people are thinking about doing, but it's going to be a performance venue. You'll see performances from people from the dance complex, from the Central Square Theater, and from others. I assume that a lot of musical performers from all over the place.
Oh, Improv Boston's part of it. I read that.
They gotta be. And this is, people are dying to have something like this. So this is going to be a good thing. I mean, but it is worth noting that Starlight Square today is just parking lot five. Okay. And I took this photo a few days ago and it was just nothing happened. Still a parking lot. I walked by a few hours ago and all the cars are cleared out now.
Yeah. So you can't park there.
You can't park there. They'll still be able to do the farmer's market.
That happens on Mondays.
But except for that, you know, I don't know exactly where they're going to be setting up the staging.
Right.
But,
you figured from what they're doing there, might face the,
I'd probably face outward from Bishop Allen. But we'll see. So we took a little walk there. I did run into one of our favorite friends from the Central Square Business Improvement District.
Yeah, we have to get him on the Zoom one of these days.
Oh, I talked to him about it today. He's hungry to do it.
Easy enough. Another face on the screen, right?
Yeah. Yep. And we actually went up to the top of his hotel that he's building at 907 Main.
And there's
the rooftop bar. This is one day when the rooftop bar, of course, it's tough to imagine bars opening, but this is an open air venue. So maybe that'll be fine. There's a kitchen right outside the bar area and right up on the roof. And this is one of the views you get from up on the roof, looking over
Lafayette. So let me ask you, Robert, as we're looking down, when is this, the whole sewer thing going to be done? You know, that underground
You know,
I see that remnants of it down here, right?
They jacked the pipes under the subway, so that's all complete. It's just about making all the connections into the main sewers. And they're making great progress now. They're actually closing up the street along Mass Ave now. There's going to be a separated cycle track that'll be sort of at sidewalk level coming through.
Oh, really?
Well,
which side? The side that's
on the Mass and Main side. This side. Not on the firehouse side, but on this other side. Okay. I mean, I imagine they're going to have something on the other side as well. But as part of the Mass and Main project, this was definitely a piece of it. So we did a little walk there. While we're at it, we're sort of doing a virtual walk around Central Square here. It is perhaps worth noting, and I didn't take pictures of everything, that there has been a rapid fire series of rumors and maybe more than just rumors of the actual or potential closing of some long-term friends of Central Square. The first one we heard made official was that the Field on Prospect Street, Jerry Coleman basically said we're out of respect for our patrons, we don't want to endanger anybody, so we're gonna call it quits. Yeah. Many of us remember the Field when it was the Prospect Buffet. And then
why do you say buffet, not buffet?
You know, it was always called the buffet, and I ain't changing it. In fact, even now, on the license for the Field, it's the Field.
Really?
It says, It says the Prospect Buffett doing business as the field. Yeah. And they tried to rebrand, trying to get a little more upscale as Melvin's, but that didn't really last, didn't work. And then they went into more of an Irish bar theme because I think the Druid had opened in Inman Square. And then that worked. I mean, it worked fabulously.
Yeah.
Well. You know, so that's that was been great. But now, just a few days ago, I mean, I get contacted by people who are like food writers and others. And
Mark Hurley.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the first one we were hearing about was about the Cantab Lounge. And apparently those rumors seem to be more than rumors.
Okay, so what's with that? Because I thought it was a rumor,
Honestly, it's not been verified by the owners absolutely yet. But the thing is that it's starting to look not so good for the Cantab. And the thing is, the only question, at least the way I'm interpreting this right now, is that will it be the business being sold or the property being sold?
Well, you know a lot about the property over there. Is it one big stretch of one owner?
There are about four different storefronts that are all, it's all one owner.
There's like a chicken, there's like a takeout chicken place. There's
So there's there's a strip of them there. Now the property could be sold or the business could just turn over. But the thing is right now it is tough going for bars.
Oh, restaurants, bars in particular. Right. If you can't serve at a bar, then forget, you know.
We can talk about phase two, phase three, phase whatever. But the truth, everybody seems to understand that most bars, unless you have like those big open air windows or big patios.
Well, the tavern on the square, whatever it's called now, it does have that. So I'm thinking that they can do that.
They have the open windows. They have enough space in there that they can socially distance.
Plus, if you're fenced around outside, you can serve alcohol.
And they do definitely have the outdoor space.
And they've always had that.
Central Square. They got that from ever since they opened up there when we widened the sidewalks back in the mid-'90s. So the Cantab seems to be gone, but again, nothing's official about that. But you know, the thing is the property where the Middle East is, and that's Middle East, Sonia, Zuzu, and both fronts of the Middle East, and downstairs in the Middle East as well. I mean, that property was actually marketed a while ago.
Right.
They were asking a lot of money, and I don't know.
COVID hit, maybe that.
I don't know if they got any takers. Yeah. Now, in the age of COVID, since the businesses really can't operate very much, who knows? Are there some speculators out there who are saying, "Oh boy, I can pick up some bargains now"?
Right.
What's going to happen? And then the same question arises, which is, well, is it the business that gets sold? Probably not. It would probably be the property. And then if the property turns over, what would happen there? I mean, the likelihood of having one-story buildings remaining in Central Square in this day and age is virtually zero.
But he owned, I mean, the family owns that block. So,
Yeah, not that many years ago, the Sater family actually purchased the property.
Right. It's not like they're paying rent to somebody. I mean, yes,
they're carrying the mortgage. They're paying a pretty steep mortgage. So the thing is that they could sell the property and clear their mortgage and even make a little money.
The question is
you've got a big family and family's got to make decisions. Who wants to be compensated in what way? So,
are they doing any business now? I mean,
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But the thing is that everybody's sort of stringing along at marginal business.
Right.
You know, how anybody's going to be surviving through this without incredibly generous landlords, it's hard to say.
You're right. So it could be that it got sold, but not be to restaurant, or it could be housing.
I mean, I'm actually on the Central Square Advisory Committee.
Right. So you would know.
Well, no, we wouldn't necessarily learn from that, but I actually asked, you know, put the word out to them today. Yeah. I said, we should have a meeting at some point in the not too distant future to not talk about whether this recreational marijuana place should get licensed or whether this property should be entitled to this relaxation of the setback requirements, the usual stuff. But we need to have a much more serious conversation. Mm-hmm. So does the planning board. So does the community development department about the future of Central Square in the age of COVID, because right now, you know, whether we like it or not, some of these businesses are not coming back.
Right.
We already know that. And right. some of these properties are going to turn over.
Yeah.
And now that's, you can look at that as an opportunity, or you can look at that as just a tragic circumstance. But the thing is that people better start thinking about where yeah. we go from here.
Yeah.
And don't just sort of wait to react, right?
Well, that's interesting you say that. I don't know if you watched any of the housing committee meeting today.
Not but, today, no.
And this also came up, I think, the other day. But anyway, Dennis Carlone was talking about having, I'm going to paraphrase, some kind of a better plan on building and what we're doing. And I mean, he didn't refer specifically to Central Square, but it sort of goes along with what you're saying.
He definitely talked about that yeah. as part of the I did attend, I actually even gave public yeah. comment on the Government Operations Committee meeting, which I guess was yesterday.
That's right. And I watched right. that. You're right. So it did come up right. in that. That's right.
Right.
You're
that's right. another yeah. important yeah. topic already. Is the, it,
the right, exactly. The city manager, right.
The but city manager's right. contract. But yeah. you know, even though the meeting yesterday, not to mm-hmm. sort of dodge off into too many different directions
yeah.
here, but
it's all about the city. Yeah.
The Government Operations Committee meeting was, again, this is, they had a lot of disruption because of COVID. But the right. thing is, they have to make some decisions and have to right. give the signal to Louis DePasquale about a contract extension by no later than September 14th. That's what's in the contract.
Right. He was requesting
I think, well, it was ambiguous. Yeah. And yeah, honestly, right. listening to the council rhetoric, which is something I'm getting pretty sick of right
yeah.
now,
okay.
because
yeah.
it's all about me all the time. You know, every councilor yeah. is making their own little sing-song about me. The thing is that the question is that, you know, do you have a good manager here? What do you want here? And it, you know, but then it turned into all these other conversations about, yeah. you know, things unrelated to the simple contract extension. But mm-hmm. Dennis Carlone, you're absolutely right, did yeah. bring up not only the fact that he apparently yeah. wants to dramatically increase property taxes, because he says we're only taxing 67%, Brookline and Boston are doing 99%. Why aren't we doing that?
Like condo owners, he's talked about that before.
You got to change state law. Right.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
Right, right now, everybody gets a residential property tax exemption, and the thing makes condo owners have the sweetest deal in town.
Right.
So if you can get the state to change that, then you mm-hmm. can maybe shift that to a, but the thing is, there's a lot of condo owners are now the chief property owners around the city.
Really?
So that will not go mm-hmm. over very well politically if you say we're going to basically try and raise the taxes on the backs of the condo owners, even though they are underpaying arguably now.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, the thing is that, you know, we do have commercial property tax, which is has been footing the bill for 2/3 of the property tax.
Right.
Maybe we'd still foot a lot of it, but
yeah,
apparently,
but all that's changing, I bet.
Well, there's some councilors, Dennis Carlone yeah. very much in particular, who seems yeah. to somehow believe that the city should be squeezing a lot more revenue out of the residents and businesses of the city in order to take on more and more bigger and bigger projects and stuff. I don't know if I agree, and I don't know that that's definitely the philosophy.
Businesses, we already take a lot out of the commercial.
I think you, and honestly, Tim Toomey was speaking very directly to that yesterday's yeah. Government Operations Committee meeting.
Yeah.
In that, people have not really taken into account what the sum effect of the pandemic is going to be yeah. on property tax valuation on the commercial side.
Oh yeah, we're not going to.
There's going to be a lot of abatements,
that's right. mm-hmm.
and there's going to be a lot of legal rationale for doing so. And you're going to see some shifts, and nobody's talking yeah. about it yet, but I can know. Pretty much guarantee you, because the math is yeah. the math here,
yeah.
That this is
and
not
you
going
to... know your math, right?
Well, to some degree. But so, but the thing is, yeah. We are not going to just sort of breeze through the next property tax valuation season without yeah. some pretty noticeable changes.
Yeah.
And people better just get wise to that, because that's going to happen. And maybe for the first time in a generation, the city council is going to have to make hard decisions, you know? But we'll see about that. So, but anyway, in the meantime, we've got Starlight Square,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, so we're going to try and make the most of it.
They're going to hope to have that started, August? A couple weeks, maybe?
They actually cleared it today, and they'll probably be, I don't know exactly how much time is going to be involved, but putting up just basic staging.
Yeah, that's not going to take long.
Operational, yeah. that can be done pretty quickly. And
right.
being done really by the Central Square Business Improvement District. It's not like you have to put it out under Chapter 30B Municipal
Procurement Act. It's like when you have a festival, when you put up a, you know, for a music.
Hey, listen, if they need some volunteers to help slam a few boards together, I'll help, you know.
Well, 6 feet apart, I don't know.
We can do it. You can do it. I've done it before when the Cambridge River Festival was in its heyday.
Pre-pandemic.
But the thing is that I was assembling or helping to assemble platforms for dance performances.
Right, but that's when they had like 6 stages and everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, I was working on my own I wasn't anybody. Right. I just had drills and hammers, you know.
Right. I don't know if they're going to give you a drill and a hammer, Robert, but they'll hear you. That's good.
Don't worry, you can trust me. Believe me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Anyways, so should we talk about the? Let's see. I'm trying to think now.
Well, actually, one thing I am going to say, this is sort of on the editorial comment side of things.
Okay.
Having given testimony about the city manager's.
Oh, I heard you. That's right. I got to tell you, but you didn't answer the phone.
In the days leading up to this, there were all these listserv messages going out.
Oh God!
About,
yeah.
Here's
get
6
on the Zoom.
7 reason. You gotta.
Oh, I was so angry at some of these callers who, you know. I mean,
seriously. Look, you and I are all into recycling and reusing and whatever, but to actually have to read, in all seriousness, people arguing why the manager's contract shouldn't be renewed because he wasn't paying attention to the council when they said that we should be allowed to use reusable bags. And I said, that's what this comes down to.
The shared streets, like how horrible that was. It's the same person who was one of the last speakers.
So we didn't.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, how many pictures do I have to post of me walking 60 miles a month?
It's incredible.
Not having any problems, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's
So we have a city manager who's navigating pretty competently, I have to say, the biggest crisis the city has seen in many, many years.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to worry because he was a little slow in opening up Garden Street I still can't use a reusable bag. I mean, give me a break.
I know.
That was more than I could take.
Well, so some of these people were literally born yesterday. But anyway.
Yeah. definitely.
I'm not discounting passions and all, but it just bothers me when there's people that come into the conversation because – you know, social media has given so many people this, I have something to say and I don't care, you know, and I want you to hear it. And I'm talking about there's some of the older people that you hear from every week. I'm sick of that. But also, you know, I looked through all the communications. There were 30 communications and about 10
too.
Of those people also spoke. Do you have to do both?
No.
Really?
No, I chose one. Let the record show I chose one.
I just feel brevity is really...
It's really what it should be about. But you know, one of the things, and this was something that also happened a month or so ago in some of the council hilarity there, was it's sort of the, let's put out the word and drive 100 people to go to a public meeting.
Oh,
to
I know.
Basically to
It was the bike committee listserv. I mean, I did a lot of research into all that.
So whether it's the bike safety committee people who basically say, quick, 500 people run over there to overwhelm everybody, or else if it was the shared street crowds or the whatever crowds. Some of these, there's a lot of overlap in some of these ones.
Well, and then it was some fit into a national one.
It makes me ask the question, well, what is democracy? If it's the voice of the people, what does that mean? Because the loudest and the most social media organized one? Is that the voice of the people?
Well,
is that Vox Populi?
Did you hear, yesterday, it was Hector Acevedo.
He was wonderful. Hector's he's a sweetheart anyway.
He spoke to that.
Yes. No, Hector is one of the smartest guys in the city, and the most eloquent and the nicest person you'll ever want to meet, too. He was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So a few other things that are happening around town. I'm going to say one thing on the quick.
And then we should go to some photos.
And we're going to go to the photos. Absolutely.
We're
going to switch over to the photos in a minute here, right?
All right.
So the thing is that one of the properties that has been sort of in the news locally for a long, long time is the W.R. Grace properties out near Alewife area.
Is that now, Gary's or Jerry's Pond? I always
remember. That's Jerry's Pond, right? With a J, yeah. As opposed to Gary of Gerrymander, right? Okay. So, you know, Grace Construction Project, they actually sold the whole site, including Jerry's Pond, to another company called IQHQ for $125 million.
Wait, when was this?
That was about a week or two ago. And the thing, yeah, and basically is saying like you should expect office and lab development to pick up around there. It's going to be tricky because
is this the quadrangle or the triangle?
Neither. This is
the other side?
Russell.
It's the other side.
It's near next to Russell Field.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, right where the head house, the east head house of the LYFT station, which is like the entry to nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
By
the pool, there's a pool.
Yeah. But now there's a very polluted site on the north side of that. Right. There's Jerry's Pond to the south, which is less polluted, but it's problematic.
Right.
And it's going to be a challenge to do the redevelopment. But there's also the properties up by Whittemore Avenue.
What does that mean? This is a long process. It has to go through the planning board. It's going to have public comment.
It's going to be a long haul. But the thing is that it's been a long-standing problem. And, one of the things...
You couldn't really have housing, right? If it's...
you would have to do a lot of cleanup. And depends on where you would put the housing. So
what about a lab? Does a lab require that kind of...
Not in the same sort of way. Yeah.
So that's probably why.
You'll start... Once we hopefully get through the pandemic, this will become something to keep on the radar, to be sure. Now, in the meantime, our roving reporter, Judith Nathans, has been making her way around, and as have I.
Yes, you a lot.
And I think maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to show a few pictures of what's happening around town.
Yeah. But I want to get to those really beautiful ones.
Yeah, so one thing here, just to say kind of quick here, is that
Inman Square,
there was the plan to create dining areas, which they did, and they also made it a one-way street from East Cambridge heading west, and the only bicycles can go the other way, so now you have to kind of go around the merry-go-round.
Are there that many restaurants? I mean, there's S&S, there's...
S&S is on one side, and they'll have their outdoor seating there. But there's also the Druid. There are a few. So I'm just going to run through some of it. This is in the middle of the day. In the middle, by the way, is traffic director Joe Barr. He was in gym. He's the one who basically did that. I happened to spy him sitting there enjoying the outdoor dining.
That's funny.
Right? Yeah. Meanwhile, this is also on the other side. This is just a different view, in front of where the Druid is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of whisk through a few of these ones right here. Meanwhile, over in Central Square, I may have shown this picture here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
When they were laying it all out for the outdoor area, but it was there was nothing happening. It actually went at least another week with nothing really happening. You know, it was just sort of sitting there waiting. And then I came by one day.
There we go.
And they had actually put in some chairs. And here is Kirsten and this is Morris Nagar, one of our major property owners and business owners around Central Square. Okay. And Peter Valentine was there, Dennis Benzan, a lot of other people who I know. Yeah. It was kind of like a party of a lot of the Central Square characters.
Okay.
Meanwhile, right next to me, and actually even in front of my house, is one of these outdoor dining areas.
Oh, right. That is
This is my next door neighbor. And now there are actually tables in front of my house.
Have your free coffee. You bring your own coffee.
I could just, come up to my porch. I'll pour you a cup, right? So it's not just the major squares. I mean, this is actually happening in other places as well.
I love
this. This is a nice mural.
Walking around on Cherry Street. This is Margaret Fuller
House. Margaret Fuller House and a really, really nice theme, a good message being sent.
Yeah.
In Magazine in the supposedly super overcrowded city.
Yeah, I know.
We have these wonderful, peaceful, not overly populated places at Powder House.
Right.
Meanwhile,
look at this. This was that hot. Well, when was it? I don't know what it was, but look at this. There's
the
so
state
many places
of center.
You can walk around. People, and just come to open spaces. You know,
MIT is not a restricted campus. If people want to actually just sit out in the grass, look at this. It's not a soul. No. You know. And by the way, I've been wanting to make this parallel for years.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
You, So you,
but
you,
it's different though.
Well, you took a photo of, yeah, of the MIT's nuclear reactor.
So that is the nuclear reactor.
Yes, it is.
Sure.
Now, I don't think the smokestack is related to the reactor.
No, but
it's
I
like
love
next door.
I just think it's
but
so
I have to
good.
Say, yeah. for ever since I've been looking yeah. at that, there's yeah. one image always came to mind whenever uh-huh. I would see the reactor and that yeah. smokestack, which is the 1939-1940 World's Fair in Flushing Meadow Park in New York.
Oh, so this is the World's Fair. Okay, I was wondering.
And it's the Trilon and the Perisphere.
Oh my,
is
so that,
the name
is that,
of that
connected, this thing?
No,
here?
Not at all. But the thing is oh. that, you know, I have to just say that whenever I would see the juxtaposition of the reactor yeah. and the stack, I always thought of the Trilon and
so
the Perisphere.
Nice. I gave that to you. See that? Wow.
Yeah, and it, by the way, this is the day it was first unveiled,
oh my,
in 1939.
I love yeah. this. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you have this, cause, not because you were there, obviously. You weren't born.
No. When I was a kid, the yeah. Trilon and Perisphere were long gone. They used to be just something called the Space Needle. And then
there an expo at
1964-65 yeah. World's Fair is when they there. And what remains yeah. from that is the New York State Pavilion and the Unisphere.
Right.
And the Unisphere became the kind of the central.
But also
figure.
The Mets first, wasn't the Mets first stadium around there?
Shea Stadium was
Shea
right,
stadium.
Pretty much right yeah. across the street. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so you could go get off at Shea Stadium and you go to the Singer Bowl, yeah. which is a tennis stadium, and then wander right over to the World's Fair. You know, so yeah, okay. so you know, there were satellite World's Fair parking lots close to even where I lived. Growing up there, you know. But anyway, so I just love the juxtaposition
you
of the reactor.
You have something underneath there. Wait, keep going up. I thought you had another thing.
Well, these are just some of the pictures we had from before.
Right, of
again,
open space.
Yeah, yeah. just basically, yeah, you know, for all those who are making this fallacious claim that
it's,
you know, everything is so crowded, whatever. I'm sorry, it ain't
true. Just walk
true.
A mile and you'll find places that
go
are
Go anywhere
open.
You like and you'll
go
find
to the Harvard Business
tons
School.
Of places.
Go to Kendall. I've discovered yeah. things... there's a whole courtyard behind that Swiss cheese looking building. I mean, I shouldn't say that Myelin did it. You know, the one right on the corner of-
Oh, the Novartis Mass. Headquarters. Yeah, there's a
no,
great
courtyard. No, it's not Novartis. Is that Novartis?
It is Novartis. They're no, on both sides of the street.
No, Osborne Triangle, it's called.
Right, so you go over to Osborne Triangle,
but
which
you
is
wander
on the
up
other
there.
Side of
I
it.
Never knew that. You wander up there, there's all these tables, and it's open. You can sit
yep.
there, and it's
that
amazing.
When I was working at MIT, yeah. that was how I always walked home right through there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was my path right through there. So that was pretty
yeah.
cool. By the way, since you did mention open space and whatever,
yeah.
the shared streets, you know, Garden yeah. Street, Magazine Street, Harvard Street.
Magazine Street, you know, is loaded with sawhorses.
Loaded with sawhorses, and then people were saying, well, it's not good, not enough. So now they're putting little further signs in the middle that's saying 10 mile per hour speed
oh,
limits.
Oh, I thought they were on the side, the 10
Well, miles. They are, but then they're putting some additional ones.
Oh, okay.
And listen, I have to say, I kind of like them because
it's
sort of-
I think all cars should go slow, maybe 10
But that's
slow,
really
but
the point
sure,
I
yeah.
would make is that to
exactly.
me-
Exactly. You don't need
in
to
my,
go right.
In my silly worldview yeah. is every road is already a shared street. It's just that
that's
some
right.
streets are not very well shared.
And they shouldn't be 20, arterial. It should be 20 miles per hour. Really.
I think 10 is a little ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
well,
but
if it says shared street, yeah, maybe. But
my feeling about it is that as soon as there's a pedestrian in a street, you slow down,
right?
Whatever it takes to make sure everybody's safe. And the right. same thing, you navigate around cyclists and you do all yeah. of this. I mean, some people don't seem to understand the concept of share. They want to say, like, this is my street. I've actually heard some horror stories of people on, I don't know whether it was Harvard Street or maybe it was Garden Street or maybe it was one of these other streets.
I think it was Garden,
where somebody was just walking down the street and a car was behind them and they just wanted to get around. And they, you know, and then the person just sort of snarled at them as if to say, who do you think you are with your big
right.
steel cage? And I think, you know, come on. This is supposed to be about
yeah.
sharing. And that yeah. you know, that means something.
Sharing is caring, isn't it?
Yes. You know, I don't want to sound all, you know, silly about it, but
know,
the thing is right. is that this is about getting along, people
yeah.
getting along. And I like the experiment. Let yeah. me be really clear. I like
yeah.
the experiment.
Good.
I hope some of it persists
yeah.
even beyond the pandemic. But the thing is that I also know that there's a political agenda going on here too.
Yeah.
of, you know, we got to eradicate cars from the planet because they're evil, whatever.
I know.
You know, and I think people have to separate out some of these issues. You know, right
everything
now,
everything in moderation. You're not going to get rid of them right away. And
there's a petition.
Yeah.
I think it's a petition going around right now.
In Cambridge?
A petition in Cambridge, unheard of, right?
What?
Arguing why they should be closing down lanes of Memorial Drive.
Oh, please. Is that still going around?
That's the thing I like to point out to people is that it was several years ago, long before anybody heard of coronavirus, there were some people who were saying we should be closing down a lane on each side of Memorial Drive to turn it into a two-lane road and da-da-da-da-da-da, and we should petition DCR.
You want the traffic? Try going around the BU Bridge during rush hour and have it be...
Well, I mean, look, there's some hours of the day and maybe it work fine, but the thing is that if you crunch it down too much, people are just going to start using all the other streets as well. But now, could it work? I don't know. But the thing is that I think it needs be pointed out that the same people who were arguing for this before we ever heard of coronavirus are the ones who are pushing the petition today. So is this about really social distancing, or is this about an opportunity?
I
think it's more, it's as much about just
capitalizing an opportunity. I'm more concerned about people losing their homes, losing their livelihoods, losing their businesses, not having health care. I mean, let's get real. I mean, let's...
Right, I think really that's exactly right.
This, and if somebody needs to use a car because they can't get to work and they have to use, you know, so be it.
Right. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we're sort of winding down. I think we're in our last few minutes here. But the thing is let me just say that, all right, City Council is going to meet next week.
Right.
I don't think they're going to decide. Maybe they'll move forward on the manager's contract thing. But typically, there's usually a lot of stuff.
So that's Monday, July 27th.
27th, right. Mm-hmm. And then they won't come back for their next meeting. Will be until September 14th.
Yeah, why so? Okay. Maybe because of holidays or something.
Well, it's always they may have another special meeting that they'll squeeze in there.
Yeah.
It's very possible. So I wouldn't, you know, I haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, quickly, I noticed they had an ordinance meeting that was not videotaped. It was not recorded.
Oh, really?
They did have it last week on the affordable housing over. There's another.
Oh, they didn't record that one.
No, I don't see any.
They had a second one they were going to have that got canceled. And
second
then
one this week is canceled?
There was a second one that was canceled because they're going to have one mid to late August.
Well, they need to update their calendar then. It doesn't look right, whatever.
What? In Cambridge? We're not technologically savvy? Honestly, there's so many shortcomings on cities' calendar operations, et cetera. You know? One thing I would say here, just the last couple of minutes, that to me, one position I absolutely wish I would not want to be in right now would be to be a member of the Cambridge School Committee.
Oh, God.
Cambridge School Committee is having to navigate between, and this is happening all across the country.
Right.
Do you open schools? Do you do a hybrid model? Do you do everything?
How all the younger kids are harder to control? Yeah, all that.
How do you deal with the problem of the kids who are basically
teachers
checking out?
A lot of them don't live in Cambridge, and maybe they're in communities where there are no schools. What do they do with
their kids? There are vulnerable teachers, you know?
Right,
teachers have, you know, they're not all 25 years old and whatever. So, you know, and staff and whatever. This is a hard decision. And, you know, the biggest fear, I think it must be running through some of their minds would be that, well, what if we say go ahead and then somebody captures the virus and there's a fatality.
Well, hopefully they can do testing and tracing and all that stuff.
There is right ways of doing that. Exactly. And life is not risk-free anywhere.
That's
so,
true.
You know, so this is, you know, this is just,
I hope they come up with something. The kids do need, I mean,
they're going to need something, but I say I do not envy the position of a school committee member at this point.
Or our dear mayor, who's the chair.
And the mayor and the school superintendent
job.
And everybody else. So
anyway,
we should probably wind it down here.
We're the last of the night, but
that's right. Yeah.
Sure, so Seth wants to get a rest.
So. There we go. Okay. So anyway, we'll be back again one of these days soon. 2 weeks. Or maybe sooner.
So
until then, we'll see you on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye-bye.